Thank you. Good morning, everybody. I'd like to present to you quickly a little bit that we've learned about a physiological disorder or suspected physiological disorder of pepper fruits called stip. Has anybody, just with that introduction, heard of or seen this disorder? A few, thank you. That's more than I've seen in the past. My student, James, who is supposed to give this presentation, said, you know, my wife is pregnant and her due date is pretty close to when ASHS is supposed to happen. You think I should go? And I said, well, no, I think I'll present for you. And his young daughter was born on Sunday, so I'm glad that he didn't go, and I'm presenting on his behalf. This is a pretty ugly-looking green chili pepper, which is what we focus on mostly in New Mexico, the pungent peppers, and I'll show you some really ugly pictures in just a minute. Here's what it looks like in red chili pepper. If you haven't seen it before, this might start to look familiar. As a matter of fact, I went to the Whole Foods yesterday afternoon, and unfortunately, I found it on our hatch chili that was brought in from New Mexico over here to Louisiana. That's what it looks like on the right-hand side in green chili pepper, and it doesn't seem to go all the way to the cuticle, but is subcutaneous, and the lesion becomes darker and darker over time. If anybody's interested, I actually brought a few samples. I always do that for class, so I figured I would do it here. Here's what it looks like in the field. If you just had a glance, you may not notice it, but the lesions are present in the field as well, and it's just present on the fruits, not on the rest of the plant. This is what we've called kind of a leoparding almost. They can get pretty severe, especially where the pod kind of bends or might be positioned around the branch of the plant. A little bit of quick background. I know that our time is kind of compressed. This term stip comes from a German term, stippen, and that term itself on a different crop, apples, has been described as far back as 1892 to describe any sort of kind of stippling or spotting in fruits. It hasn't been formally described in New Mexico, but that's part of our effort here, and I know it has been dealt with. I'll give you a little bit more history in other parts of the world and the country, but it has been mentioned or described or reported in all the pepper-producing regions of the United States, including Arizona, Texas, Florida, and California. And since 2007, which also happened to correspond to some of our warmer years, we've started to see an increase in reports coming from New Mexico, and it's come to our attention for that reason. Mostly, it's present on green chili cultivars, like what's shown in that photo there. They tend to be open pollinated. We don't grow a whole lot of hybrid cultivars in New Mexico as of yet. And it's not present in our paprika cultivars and more difficult to detect in our red cultivars, which are often harvested for their pigments, not necessarily for direct food consumption. And we suspect it's a physiological or an abiotic disorder. The crop losses are unknown because of the amount of crop that's left in the field and left unharvested, so it's a little bit difficult to get an estimate on what the crop losses are. But they are moving into could be double digits and of concern. A little bit of past research and background. This disorder has been well known by California growers and Florida growers, especially for bell pepper cultivars, for some time since the mid-90s, so we're talking about 20 years here. And ultimately, their solution was avoidance via resistant cultivars. And at this moment, New Mexico growers aren't that resistance isn't available because of the type of the cultivars that we use, open pollinated primarily, and so we're trying to get to the core cause as well as understanding the disorder itself. It is present in Bell, Pimento, and Anaheim, which of course is the New Mexico pod type chili pepper brought to California. I have to throw that in there as a New Mexico person. They reported that it was most severe in open pollinated cultivars, which again is what we use primarily in New Mexico. There were some studies to try to link stip to nutritional disorders, including nitrogen and calcium, but results in the field were inconsistent at best. And again, going back to resistance in the cultivar itself, there was reported resistance in Gusto, Taurus, and Cal Wonder 300, and I have that in bold because that's the cultivar that we used for this study. It's a bell pepper cultivar. The graphic down at the bottom is a Florida publication for bell peppers again, and it has stip listed. I know it's very small, but stip listed as one of the among the other viruses and other maladies. Resistance was reported for stip in these cultivars, so it's been acknowledged around the country. So our objectives for this study were to get stip to happen. We didn't actually have a reliable inducement protocol, and I'll go through that a little bit, which ended up being a cultivar trial as well. We wanted to describe it using microscopy and finally describe it using some metabolic techniques. So I want to briefly summarize our results from last year in the greenhouse. This is a greenhouse study with two different cultivars. We repeated it again this season and have similar results. We started in the greenhouse in order to be able to do this at any time of year. We started a little bit ahead of what our typical growing season would be in February, and then ended up harvesting in late July and into the middle of August. We had the two cultivars that I mentioned, and this really was at the core a cultivar trial. It was a reportedly susceptible cultivar, AZ1904, which is one of our green chili pungent type peppers, as in contrast with a bell pepper type, the Cal Wonder 300, which is reported in the literature as being resistant to stip. It was a CRD, and we had two sub-experiments. One I'll mention, which was an acute temperature stress. Otherwise, the crop was grown under ideal conditions in the greenhouse. And a chronic drought stress, which was successful. We definitely induced chronic stress in the form of drought, and I'm not going to present those results because we stressed the plant so much they didn't produce fruits. Mid-experiment, we discovered an aphid infestation, and this is our request to do a spray. When we sprayed for those aphids, we actually shut off the greenhouse fans for safety reasons, for a couple different reasons, and I'll show you the data and what that looks like. Ultimately, this is what induced stip in this otherwise cultivar trial. The gray line is what I'm going to focus on here, which is that our temperatures in the greenhouse at that point in the season were in the mid-80s, which is appropriate because we had the high point set at 83 degrees. But we shut off the fans right about the end of June and into the first 10 days or so of July. And what you can see, again, focusing on the gray line, is that our temperatures went up above 100 degrees, which is not atypical for New Mexico outside in the field, and was atypical for the greenhouse environment. And ultimately, this is what actually induced stip in this cultivar trial. We were just trying to compare the two different cultivars. When we harvested the two different cultivars, this is one of our bell peppers and a New Mexico pod type, we recorded incidence, severity, the pod yield, and also the location on the plant. Where was stip actually occurring? Where were the pods physically located? We developed a system, ABCD as listed there, to describe where in the branching system of the plant stip occurred. Here's a stripped down plant to kind of show that, where the fruit set is on the plant. Some of the lower pod set on this bell type, and then some of the upper pod set. And those correspond to higher numbers and higher node numbers that you'll see in a minute. Here's a New Mexico pod type, again, similar type of fruit set, and we have a feeling it might be related to that fruit set and trying to put on both vegetative growth and reproductive growth. Quickly with the results, this is AZ1904, that New Mexico pod type on the left. This is the location. As you go to the left to right, that's higher up in the plant where the pods are located, and this is stip incidence. And notice that lower on the plant, that lower fruit set is where we saw the highest incidence. With the Cal Wonder, the reported resistant cultivar, the bell pepper type, we did in fact see similar levels of incidence with stip, and again, lower fruit set on the plant. But it did tend to go away, that stip. We didn't see stip later in pod development. This is a graphic that we created. We had some confusion about whether or not this is a real thing or not, but we created this just to show the graphic I'm going to show you in a minute. But we counted the total number of pods harvested, in that case four, the total number of lesions, we counted those, one, two, three, and then also the total number of pods with lesions. And what that gives us, as we compared the two different cultivars, again, the susceptible AZ1904 and the reportedly resistant CalWonder 300, we actually didn't see any statistical differences between these two different cultivars, two different pod types, but we didn't see any difference with incidence or severity from a statistical point of view. And numerically, they're very similar as well. Very briefly, I'm going to go through a microscopy signal that we got also from these pods. If you haven't seen this disorder before, there's some confusion. We now have a way of able to determine whether or not we have STIP present from a microscopic point of view. All of the slides that will follow will show white light on the far left, in the middle, green fluorescence filter, and also on the right, a violet filter. You can see this natural fluorescence and normal fluorescence from the cuticle and also from the vascular bundles. That in contrast to the signal that we got with some STIP tissue. This is a fairly late season STIP tissue. And one thing that we determined in the next two slides is that healthy tissue, what looked like healthy tissue, is in fact healthy from a microscopy signal point of view, and just the affected areas are what you actually see the STIP signal. So here's a healthy pod from a plant that showed STIP symptoms. So again, if you don't see visually see the symptoms, you probably won't see the signal microscopically as well. We have seen, however, a consistent signal across cultivars, so different pod types, Bell versus New Mexican pod type. When you have STIP, it gives a very clear, consistent signal, especially with that violet filter. In this case, it looks kind of like a gunshot almost, to be able to separate STIP from maybe other possible disorders. And as a final couple of slides, we are just starting to link the relationship between that microscopy signal and some metabolic analysis, similar to what was described at the last talk. We're starting to see differences between asymptomatic and symptomatic tissues, again, from a metabolic standpoint, mostly senescence types of compounds that are present in those tissues, but that's very preliminary. And so with that, I'll say the next steps is linking that microscopy to the metabolic results and a quick acknowledgement of our funding sources and cooperators. And I'm not sure if we have any time, but if we do, I'd be happy to entertain a question or two. Sure. So the comment was that it could be an oxidative response or something related to oxidation, and we're certainly going down that path, and it's looking that way from the very preliminary results that we're seeing from the metabolic studies. It looks like that, certainly, at a glance. Thanks. Yes. What is the timing of the disorder in terms of fruit development? It appears that the fruit development and vegetative growth at the same time is a bit of a stress on the plant, and that's where we're seeing the most STIP, is when there's heavy fruit set at the same time that heavy vegetative growth is occurring as well. It happens to correspond to a susceptible cultivar and oftentimes an acute temperature stress event like we oftentimes have above 100 degrees Fahrenheit. Thank you very much for your attention. If you'd like to see some samples or have seen STIP before and said, I have a few with me if you'd like to take a look. Thank you.